In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Friday, April 22nd, 2016 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Five Mexican evangelical Christians in Chiapas lost access to the city water supply after refusing to provide monies to support a Roman Catholic festivity celebrating patron saints. Another 27 Protestant families from Chiapas recently regained access to water and electricity after surviving 2 years without it. Local authorities in the village of Union Juarez finally agreed to restore religious liberty. Matthew 10:22 reminds Christians, "You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endures to the end shall be saved." Christian groups are hopeful that the Supreme Court will grant freedom to religious charities on the Little Sisters of the Poor contraceptive case. Americans are siding with the Christian ministries who want to opt out of paying for abortifacients as part of the Obamacare insurance requirements. In a recent poll of the Catholic group Knights of Columbus, 53% of the respondents believe that such requirements are unfair, and only 32% said they were fair. Presidential hopeful Donald Trump called it, quote, pure political correctness, unquote. The Treasury Department has announced its plans to put Harriet Tubman on the face of the $20 bill. Tubman is known for assisting John Brown's raids on a little town in Virginia back in 1859 and assisting with the Underground Railroad. Presidential candidate Ted Cruz is accusing Donald Trump of more political correctness for his criticism of the North Carolina bathroom bill. Cruz said, quote, he has succumbed to the left's agenda, which is to force Americans to leave God out of public life while paying lip service to false tolerance, unquote. Tennessee is backing away from a North Carolina-like bathroom bill that would prevent transgenders from using the wrong bathroom. Representative Susan Lynn announced she would kill her own bill after Tennessee's attorney general said it would jeopardize at least $1 billion in federal funds for kindergarten through 12th grade schools and higher education. WorldNetDaily.com reports that the federal Title IX funding regulations imposes heavy compulsion on the states. The state of Georgia continues its attacks on Christian freedoms as the Georgia Department of Public Health fired a Christian medical doctor, Eric Walsh. He was a former member of the President's Advisory Council on HIV/AIDS. The department reportedly fired the doctor after conducting a thorough analysis on a series of Sunday sermons he preached on homosexuality, health, and marriage. Dr. Walsh has filed a lawsuit against the department, and Jeremy Dice, senior counsel of First Liberty, spoke to The Worldview about the case.
Dr. Walsh was not fired for anything that he said or anything he did at work, but for something he said in a sermon. And so bivocational pastors ought to understand first and foremost that the law protects them. But that's why we've taken this case up, because if the government can fire Dr. Walsh over the content of one of his sermons or any of his sermons, they can come after any of us for any of our beliefs on anything.
Labor demand is high, and jobless claims scraped the lowest in 42 years. Also, unemployment levels are the lowest since 2000. In the economic good times, we may ask, do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Romans 2, 4 and 5. On Wednesday, the Border Patrol Agency discovered an 800-yard-long drug tunnel running between California and Mexico. An agent dropped into the tunnel with a GoPro, uncovered lights, stairwells, and even a rail system. The tunnel is thought to be the longest ever discovered in California. Volkswagen is now offering to buy back people's diesel cars after their cheating on emissions tests was discovered last year. This is after a judge made the decision yesterday that they could either buy the people's cars or fix the cars as compensation. The iconoclastic pop singer known as Prince is dead at 57. Prince Rogers Nelson was known for interspersing the filthiest sexual innuendo in his music with a religious language inspired by his affiliation with the Jehovah's Witnesses. He ended his pop music career with 7 Grammy Awards, 100 million albums sold, and a net worth of $300 million. But what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Mark 8:37. Queen Elizabeth II celebrated 90 years on this earth yesterday. The Queen attributes her long life to 2 things. She says her Christian faith and the steadfast love of God. And that's the world view on this Friday, April 22nd in the year of our Lord, 2016. Invite your friends to listen to this unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you. I'm a homeschool father of 5, raising our kids out here in Eastern Plains of Colorado during the final years of Western civilization. We're at the point at which the Christian influence that's been in the West for, well, some 1,600 years is pretty much dissipated. And here we are on the very edge of Western civilization on the Eastern Plains of Colorado. And we are fighting for what little piece is left of the Christian faith for future generations. And that's why we talk about faith, family, and freedom on this radio program. Well, we're going to talk about the importance of the influence of the Christian faith on this program today. And here's a conference, a white privilege conference.
Did you go to this, Kevin?
No.
I missed it.
I think Philadelphia
held
over the weekend.
Yeah, and I missed it. I didn't get the
You
get
didn't
the
go
memo.
To the white privilege conference.
No, I went to the Cape, New Mexico homeschool convention.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, you missed this one. This one, they talked about how almost everything bad is tied to Christianity. And you know what? From their worldview perspective, I can agree with that, because Christianity put an end to human sacrifice, to abortion,
yep.
And human sacrifice. I mean, abortion.
I mean,
human sacrifice.
You're being redundant.
Yeah. They're right.
Slavery.
That's right.
Yeah.
Christianity put the end to slavery, to human sacrifice, to incest, pedophilia, to sati, widow burning.
That, yes.
That's got to be a bummer.
Yeah.
To the White Privilege Conference. Very, very upset with Christianity because, friends, Christianity has done all bad things. Almost everything bad is tied to Christianity per the worldview of this conference held in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Paul Kibble is you might call him the Apostle Paul of the White Privilege Conference.
Well, he was named Paul after the Apostle Paul.
Yeah.
And again, I think that's important, that's symbolic, because these are the men who constitute the end of the Christian West. They're the old embittered, you know, Anglo-Saxon, white, liberal, Protestant bunch that have apostatized from anything the Apostle Paul ever wrote.
Yeah, it's really strange that this guy's white.
In fact, I open up...
And he's railing against white privilege.
I open up my book, Apostate, the Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, with John Locke, John Jacques Rousseau, John Stuart Mill, John Paul Sartre, John Dewey, John Lennon, John Steinbeck. Each of these names, significant, huge men, and yet each of these men named after the Apostle John.
Yeah.
And the point is that it is the great men of the present day that are undermining whatever the Apostle John, Apostle Paul ever wrote, because, friends, they're embittered, white, Protestant men who have turned away from the Christian faith. And, friends, that's been happening for the last 250 years. You can read about it in my book, Apostate, the Men Who Destroyed the Christian West.
He says that this guy, Kibble, says there are 3 problems that are particularly severe in the modern world, and all of them are caused by Christianity. One of them, he says, wars in the Middle East. The second one, he declares that Christianity is to blame for a weak economy as it provides the godlike invisible hand that supposedly drives market forces. And then third, Kibble associated Christian hegemony with global warming.
Yeah, okay.
Christianity is the cause of global warming.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So Christianity is the cause of pseudoscience. Christianity is the cause of all that opposes Marxism. That opposes his worldview is effectively what he's saying. So anyway.
Here's this old white guy.
Yeah. Whatever the case, it appears that these guys are seeing Christianity
as antithetical to the things they have learned from Karl Marx, Charles Darwin, and all the other great thinkers of the 19th century. And you can read about that in the book Apostate. But
you got to hear this, Kevin. This guy ended the conference with his own prayer.
To
okay?
who?
Well, he says, okay, value all forms of diversity, recognize multiple truths, act cooperatively, don't proselytize, return the land to native peoples.
Let me ask you, do you think there's any proselytization going on at his conference? Do you think he was proselytizing? He had an opinion about Marxism and environmentalism, I thought, or global warming. He thought maybe global warming was a problem, and we got solutions. Do you think maybe others might have disagreed with his proselytizing at the conference?
They actually opened the second day by lauding a cop killer and raising money to go to this cop killer.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I think they were proselytizing.
All right. Probably had an opinion, yeah. But they always do it under the guise of postmodern relativism that, you know, it's there are multiple truths. There's no truth. It's just all, everybody has their own truth. But I have an opinion, and you better take it or I will kill you. That's the way the modern thinks. All right. Be back in just a moment with more on the Generations broadcast. My question is this. During this post-Christian age, will Christianity survive? Will the church survive? We're going to address that in just a moment on the Generations broadcast.
Does it seem like your family is getting pulled 100 directions? Is a crazy schedule and a hostile but enticing culture making it hard to stay connected to your kids? Join families from across the country for the NOAA Conference in Cincinnati on August 19th and 20th. Based on lessons from the life of Noah, the NOAA Conference will prepare you to engage your kids, disciple them in an ungodly generation, and launch them into life as ambassadors of Jesus Christ. Speakers include Ken Ham, the Benham Brothers, and their father Flip, Kevin Swanson, and others. And most exciting of all, you'll receive free admission to Ken Ham's new Ark Encounter for an unforgettable family vacation. Go to noahconference.org to register and get back to the basics of what it means to disciple your children in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the only lifeboat that will stand the storm. That's noahconference.org.
We are back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you, Bill Jack from Worldview Academy, also in studio with me today. As we take a look at the slow but steady demise of the Christian influence in the Western world. I think that's obvious. Obergefell is probably the most important, the most outstanding exemplification of the weakness of Christianity in this culture. That is, the 2,000-year influence of Christianity has now almost entirely waned in the Western world, including the United States of America and every other Western country to which we broadcast. Well, here is Michael Savage, who is a radio broadcaster even bigger than us, and that's actually easy to do. But Michael Savage, in a recent program, said the West will collapse without Christian revival. And I think we've been saying that for the last 12 years of this radio broadcast. The West will collapse. The West is already collapsing. Friends, I mean, what can you say when 51% of kids are born outside of wedlock, up from 6% in 1960? This is called the collapse. This is what collapsing looks like. It's true that we're still propped up a bit by some economic debt. And so economically, we still live sort of high off the hog, but not quite as high off the hog as we did in 2006 because the median incomes have been dropping since then. But we are collapsing. And yes, we will collapse economically, sociologically, and every other way, and it will be great will be the fall thereof. But he's saying short of Christian revival, the West will collapse. Unless Christianity receives a new enthusiasm that sweeps the Western world and Christianity itself rises up against the forces against it, the entire West will collapse in your lifetime. All right, so that's Michael Savage, a radio broadcaster on the conservative side of things. I think he broadcasts from New York, if I'm not mistaken. Well, so the state of Christianity is not where we would like it to be. And, Bill, I've spent the last 2 months of my life researching the great revivals of the 17th, 18th, 19th, and 20th centuries, and I don't
see a revival right now in the United States. And by the way, we're publishing a summary of the history of the Christian Church in about 2 to 3 months, and it will include much on the great revivals that we have seen, even in the 20th century. There's been some tremendous revivals where, say, in Korea, where a revival happened in 1907, and Korea at that point was, you know, 0.001% Christian, and now Korea is 30% Christian, sending missionaries all around the world. So the fact of the matter is the Spirit of God is alive and well on planet Earth, and yes, it turns out that Christianity will no longer be a white deal. And guys like this Paul, what's his name, that is talking about how horrible Christianity is a good indication of the apostasy of the old white world. But the bottom line is Christianity is not white anymore. Praise be to God. Christianity is red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in his sight.
Not only are they all.
I am so happy. Hey, Jesus is pulling off the vision. Yeah. Every tribe, every nation. Praise God for that.
And it's not, you know, that you're a person of color, therefore you're superior. Or you're white, but you're superior. It's
Amen.
Red and yellow, black
Amen.
And white. Not only are we all precious in his sight, but we're all in need of a Savior.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Equally in need, I might
yes.
add. And there ain't no sinner bigger than the other when it comes
no.
to red and yellow, black and white. We've got our cultural sins, but man, we all need Jesus badly.
That's right.
Okay.
We need him goodly.
Amen. So let's take a look at this article from Pew Research. I think it's important. It kind of gives us a little flavor of what's happening in our country today, and I think it's instructive. I think it'll be helpful for those Christians listening saying, you know what, I want to play a part in sustaining something of a Christian life in this country, a Christian culture in this country, and I sure would love to see revival. I want to pray for revival. And I'm thinking about putting together a week-long time of Bible study and prayer this coming winter, where we all come together for 7/24s and we pray for revival for 7 straight days. But I would really encourage Christians right now to pray and fast for revival in this country. We want the survival of the church in this country. I absolutely want it. I want it for myself, for my children, for my grandchildren, and for my church. Well, here's Pew Research, and they did some research on the question of, can you be a faithful Christian and do this, 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 and this? So it's basically saying, okay, you got all these Christians in America profess to be Christian, but they're not going to church. They're, you know, having sex with whatever they want to have sex with, and they lose their temper. They don't believe in God. They don't, you know, all these things. So they say, well, what's the bottom line here? What is the threshold at which you can't be a Christian anymore, even if you call yourself a Christian? And so what they found is 14% of Christians don't believe you have to believe in God to be a Christian.
So what does that make them?
That's a pretty LCD. That's a pretty low common denominator. Would you agree?
Yeah.
You know, that's bringing the bar
way down. You don't even have to step over the bar.
No.
You've buried the bar.
The bar is under the ground.
Yeah.
Yes. Right. So and then about 65% don't believe you have to go to church. It's not important to go to church. So 3 in 10 say going to church is essential to being a Christian. Meaning 7 in 10 say, church, who needs it? Okay, so that's the breakdown. And when they're asked, what are the essentials of what it means to be a Christian? Now, we want to go through this. I want to peel this apart a little bit. Number one, we've got to be very careful with this. Because there's this thing in America, and you talk to the guy in the street, you run into this all the time, Bill, because I know you do street evangelism.
Yeah.
If you ask them if they're good enough to heaven, good enough for heaven, what are they going to say?
Yeah, usually it's in connection with how many of the Ten Commandments.
Right.
How many of the Ten Commandments have you broken?
Do you consider yourself a good person?
Yeah.
What do they say?
Yeah.
Let me tell you how good I am.
Oh,
I hardly wait to tell you how good I am.
I go out and I ask people, is the Newtown shooter evil? Is the guy who held the women captive for 10 years evil?
Mm-hmm.
Are the terrorists evil? And nobody will say that they are evil. They say, well, they did evil things, but they're not evil.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, are you evil? No, I'm a pretty good person.
I'm a good person. Yeah. Let me tell you how good of a person I am. You know, that question is probably the question that opens up the American religion more than anything else. Americans believe they are good enough for heaven. So the first thing you got to say when you look at a survey like this in which people say, okay, in order to be a Christian, do you have to believe in God? Do you have to forgive your enemies? Do you have to pray on a regular basis? Do you have to attend church? Anytime you hear a survey like that, it's all based on the assumption, first and foremost, that you've got to be good enough for heaven. It's a moralistic religion that teaches in order to be a Christian, in order to be justified before God, in order to be in a right relationship with God, you have to achieve some basic goodness on your own. You have to, you know, merit that acceptance with God. You got to goody yourself up just to be accepted by God. Now, it turns out that's not the Christian faith.
No.
Christian faith teaches by grace we are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. And our righteousnesses, of course, are as filthy rags. And yet there is a problem, and here's the problem. The problem is that amongst American Christians, there are fake professions everywhere. There's a fake faith. People say they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but they really don't. They say certain things, but they really don't believe the things they say. That's the problem. With America, fakey Christianity is all over the place. It's a little harder to be a fake Christian in a Romanian communist prison. You with me here, Bill? It's a little harder. It's a little tougher when, you know, you're being taken to the stake and someone's got a gun to your head. But amongst Americans, so easy to just get your hell insurance policy going and have a little bit of this confession, profession, but it really doesn't mean anything. Jesus said in Matthew 15, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In Matthew chapter 7, our Lord Jesus Christ also says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. There's two problems here. The first problem is these folks didn't have a relationship with Christ. Now, they had a great profession. They evidently said, Lord, Lord. They confessed the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they didn't have a relationship with Christ. And they were antinomian. That is, they were against the laws of God. They didn't respect the laws of God. They didn't want to hear the laws of God preached. They despised the law of God. Now, it was a both and. Remember, it's a both and issue. No relationship and therefore disrespect for what Jesus says. If you don't like Jesus, if you don't have a good relationship with Jesus, you're not going to appreciate the things he says. The root problem is that they really didn't believe that Jesus Christ died to forgive them and purge them of their sins. Fake Christianity is shot through this country. It's everywhere. People have conjured up in their minds all kinds of false Jesuses and false Christs. I think of Charlie Rich, Rolling with the Flow. Remember that song came out in the 1970s, Bill? Rolling with the Flow. Jesus loves me, this I know, so I'll keep on rolling with the flow. While the guys are raising kids, I'm raising hell just like I did. Now, if that isn't American Christianity, Charlie Rich got it. He captured it in that song, Rolling with the Flow, from the 1970s. Now, that's the guy who will hear the words, depart from me, you cursed, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. That's the guy. Jesus loves me, this I know. I'll keep on rolling with the flow. So if we don't earn our salvation, if we don't goody ourselves up for God, and if there's all these false professions going on in America, then what's with these works? What's with the works? What value are these works? Well, friends, the works are just fruit. They're not the root. It's just the fruit. It's just the fruit come off the tree. A changed heart. When Jesus comes to us and he cleanses us with his blood, brings about this heart washing and this regeneration that comes by the Holy Spirit of God. Friends, a changed heart is going to yield fruit naturally. Now, you're not going to have to duct tape false fruit on the tree. You don't have to do that. You don't have to get that little plastic fruit, you know, you can buy down at the decor stores and duct tape it to the trees. And you don't have to give a bunch of excuses for not bearing fruit on your tree. It just happens. It just comes about. Now, if only 30% of American Christians think church is important, what do we conclude from that? I guess you got to conclude that they don't like church very much. And what is church? Church is the assembly of God's people. These are the people that love Jesus and love each other. Now, if I told you, Bill, I love Jesus, but I don't like his people.
Yeah.
And I don't even like to be with his people. In fact, when I find that where two or three are gathered, Jesus is right there in the midst, I don't even want to be there. I don't want to be with Jesus, and I don't want to be with his people. What would you conclude about my whole relationship with Jesus?
It's a little skewed. It's a little iffy.
Maybe I have a relationship with the wrong Jesus.
Yeah.
Maybe the personal Jesus.
Maybe it's a different date. Yeah.
Maybe I got my own little personal Jesus going here.
You know, Kevin, I really don't want to be associated with the kitchen. So I don't go there, you know, because I don't want to go into the kitchen.
Uh-huh.
Because I, you know, every time I go to the kitchen, I get fed.
Yeah, and you don't want any food.
I don't want any food.
Food is overrated.
Well, yeah.
Food is way overrated.
Yeah, I like sand.
Sand?
Yeah.
So you just eat sand.
I just eat sand. I don't want to go into the kitchen because every time I go to the kitchen, I get food.
Yeah. Yeah.
Huh.
So Bill, I don't think you're alive. I think you're dead. I think you're just dead, man. Anybody that's like food's got to be dead. Well, Don Williams had a song in 1980. It's number one song on the country charts that year. It's called I Believe in You. Remember that one?
Yes, I do.
I like a lot of Don Williams stuff, by the way, but this one always got me. He said one of the lyrics in the song I Believe in You goes like this. I don't believe that heaven waits for only those who congregate. One of those classic lyrics that really encapsulated the individualistic mindset of the Americana religion. Now, Jesus said it differently. Jesus said it this way, love me, love my brothers. Jesus said, if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, it closes his heart to him. How does God's love abide in him? We know that we have passed out of death into life. We love the brothers. By this, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. And he also provides some pretty severe warnings for those who don't want to congregate, for those who don't want to fellowship, for those who don't want to be fed, as Bill said, or those who don't want to be exhorted in the Word of God. Here's Hebrews 10:24, and these things will fry your leg hairs when you hear these warnings. Listen to Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you say the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, here's the warning, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment, fiery indignation, which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? Now, Bill, that's a warning. That's a severe warning. It's probably the most severe warning in all of Scripture. To anybody who would forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, exhorting each other, so much the more as we see the day approaching, for if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, you know, on and on it goes, so be very careful. Now, what does this mean? This means that God has assigned certain things. God has assigned the church. God has assigned regular exhortations as the means of preserving us in the way as we make our way all the way to heaven. But if we say, you know what? I don't want that. I don't want God's means. I don't want God's church. I don't want God's exhortations. I don't want this way. I don't like God. I don't like his people. And I don't like Jesus. My conclusion would be that there is no relationship with Jesus. And whatever profession that Christian has is a false profession. You see what I'm saying, Bill? We as Christians are going to be drawn in some way towards the fellowship of the saints. Now, we're not talking merit here. We're not saying that this is something that merits our way into acceptance with God. Again, we're not saying this is what constitutes our justification. We're saying that these are the fruits of the new life. When you have a new life and a new relationship with Jesus Christ, your response will be to love him and to love his church and to want to be with his church. Yesterday we had a gigantic snowstorm. As you know, we got 24 inches out here in Elizabeth.
And only 24?
Yeah.
I got more than that at my house.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we had to call off the morning worship service.
Yeah.
I couldn't make it out of the driveway till about 11 o'clock. So we had to call off the morning worship service. Well, it came to noon, and I thought, you know what? I still feel like getting together with God's people. So I emailed the whole church, said, is anybody willing to do a four-wheel drive club and get together and do some fellowship and sing some psalms and hymns, and then maybe we'll have some fellowship and food afterwards? Anybody interested in that? If you are, meet me at the church at 3 o'clock. Okay, so I had no idea who was going to be there. Showed up at 3 o'clock. 60 people showed up. We had 2 hours in the Word, fellowship, prayer, singing. It was a wonderful time. Then we sat around and ate pizza for the rest of the evening. So the point is, we just got to the point where we wanted to get together with each other. You know, it's just forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Not because I'm earning my salvation here, Bill. I just wanted to do it.
Yeah, it's not a litmus test as to whether or not you're super spiritual.
No.
It's just, hey, it was cool to get together.
Yeah, just what we want to do.
Yeah.
Because we just love to be with God's people. Like to be in the Word. Like to be in prayer together. All right. Well, that pretty much wraps up this edition of the program. Bill, I think what I would love to see is more of a revival of true Christian faith across this country. Just, I mean, people love the Lord. People who want to pray. People want to share the Word. People who want to evangelize. People want to get it out in the streets and speak boldly to their friends and neighbors like the folks did in Acts chapter 4 and Acts chapter 2. You know, wouldn't that be wonderful to see the faith just expand and grow in the hearts of God's people?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's our prayer. And you know what? I'm just gonna throw this out on the air right now. If any of our listeners are interested in coming together for a time of prayer, a concentrated time of prayer, and a concentrated time in the Word where we explore what the Word of God has to say about revival, I'd like to pull that together in the wintertime, in January of 2017. And if anybody's interested, just email me at host@kevinswanson.com. If you have a desire to see something of a spiritual warmth and a growth within your family and perhaps with others, and if you have a desire for revival, and this would be post 2016 elections, so certainly be a time at which we probably will need revival at that point. If we don't need it now, we'll need it even more in the year 2017. But if you'd like to get together and spend a week together in the Word and in prayer in 2017 towards the beginning of that year, just email me at host@kevinswanson.com, and we'd like to get that organized here within the next few months.
So we promise not to have a snowstorm.
Yeah, can't promise that, but I can promise that we'll have some food and fellowship,
yeah,
and we'll spend some time in the Word. All right, just email me at host@kevinswanson.com if you're interested in that. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack in studio, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.